And I believe that when you encounter, the title of my message, you see, is that when you encounter Jesus, you encounter love itself. And so my topic this morning is going to be talking about Mary of Bethany and what we can learn about Mary of Bethany. There were many Marys in the Bible. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was Mary Magdalene. And then there was that other Mary. But this Mary of Bethany, there was, you know, because Mary was a common name in those days. Like John is a common name. Any Johns in here? No, so it can't be that common, you know? So there's Johns. Steves are quite, I thought I used to be the only Steve, but there's many of them. We'd go in class and they said Steve, and all the Steves would raise their hands, you know. But it was a common name back in those days. And this scripture is coming from John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. And it says that 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. And a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary, who was Lazarus' sister, took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Imagine you're sitting, you know, preparing for dinner. And normally what was common in those days is that the host of the guy whose house it was, or the lady whose house it was that they were having the meal, would prepare a dish to wash their feet, because back in those days they used to wear sandals. And of course, it wasn't like bitumen roads like we have. It was tarred roads. And so it would be nice that when everybody gets there, they would wash their feet. And then, of course, there would be, maybe they would put some fragrance within that water so that, you know, there's just a nice, it's like a candle that you would light in the house, or those diffusers that people have in the house, so that when people walk into your house, it just feels and smells good. And so that's what they would do. And so what this Mary did is that she did something that was very extravagant. And so she took this expensive perfume, as Judas said, that it was worth a year's wages. Now, that would suggest to us that if we were to look at the minimum wage today, probably between $45,000 to $55,000. So who's spending $45,000 on perfume? Anybody? I don't think so. Yeah, you know. Yeah. However, she did it. But I want us to sort of like look back at where, as we look back at Mary the person, and work through where did she have encounters with Jesus herself. Excuse me. So the first encounter that Mary had with Jesus was through discipleship. And we know the scripture where Jesus came, and Jesus loved this family. Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And so he would often go to their house whenever he was in Bethany. And so one day they're at Bethany, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 to 42, it says, and so Martha, who was Mary's sister, was preparing a meal, yet Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what the Lord had to say. And so Martha became really ticked off and annoyed to say, "Look, why is it that you're not getting Mary to help me prepare the meal?" And Jesus said to Martha in his response, he says, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." And so Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And this is a position of somebody who's a learner, somebody who was a disciple. Mary, like, she chose the thing, she discovered what was the important thing, and she focused on that. So she was single-minded. She had chosen the better thing. She chose to learn from Jesus, to listen to his words, to open her heart and mind to him. And so she had her priorities in order. You know, God wants our company more than our business, even for the things that we do for him. You know, even for the things that we do for him, that we might be doing things in church, or, Lord, I'm preparing a message, but he still wants to spend time with me. The team might be, God, we got to practice. Lord, we just don't have time. But all he wants is to spend time with us. And one thing I can say as we look to the life of Mary is that Mary was a disciple, you see, is that time spent with the Lord is never wasted. I recall when I was at university and in Adelaide, and I was staying by myself, and I would just read the word, I would pray, and then, you know, you're praying for a wife, and you go on and on and on, and you're praying. You're so passionate because you're spending maybe 4 or 5 hours, you know, 6 hours maybe, listening to the word, praying, and just going really absolutely crazy for the Lord. And then sometimes the things that we ask of the Lord, all of a sudden, now that I've got a wife, oh, Lord, I don't have much time to spend with you. And then the next thing, you're praying for a child, and then, oh, Lord, I got to take care of the kids. I don't have much time, you know. And so all of a sudden, and all those things are not wrong. Wife and kids, or husband and kids, are all great things. But what I'm saying, though, is that those are the same things that can come in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Now, because we go through seasons of life, if I was a single man and I was spending the 5-6 hours praying and going nuts, now it would be very difficult if my kids wanted to come and play with me and then I said, quiet, I'm spending time with the Lord. That's not the way you do it. Because through the seasons of life, you adjust. And all of this, when we say that spending time with the Lord is something that I would encourage, you know, and you know what? You have to fight for actually spending time with the Lord, because a lot of things come to distract us. And so what you do is that you find the way that works for you. Don't compare yourself to somebody who spends 3-4 hours, because maybe they don't have a job. So it's quite easy for them to spend 3 or 4 hours. And so you do it in your own way. And even as a young person, you find the way that works for you. It could be 5 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But guess what? In that time, you are focused and being like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, ready to listen to what he has to say. Because the one thing you have to understand is that Jesus is never recognized. He's always revealed. In the sense that it is as you search the scriptures that the Spirit would enlighten you and open up your minds to understand more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just about finding a way that is natural for you, that it could be on your way to work. Whatever it is you do, my encouragement is that let us be real disciples like Mary was. The next encounter that Mary had with the Lord was during a very difficult time in their life where, you know, Lazarus was sick. And so the message was sent to the Lord Jesus to say, the one that you love is sick. Could you please come and take care of him and heal him? Because there was an expectation that if Jesus came, Lazarus would be made well again. But Jesus took 2 extra days to arrive. And by the time the Lord arrived, Lazarus was dead and had been buried. And so when Mary heard that Jesus arrived, it says in John chapter 11, verse 32 to 36, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." And the people who were standing by said, "See how much he loved him." This is see how much Jesus loved Lazarus, because Lazarus was referred the one whom you loved. And so at this time where Mary was grieving for the loss of her brother, Jesus was able to come and to grieve with her. And no matter what we're going through in our lives, we can understand that the Lord is always going to come beside us. He's always going to be there for us. And he feels the same emotions we feel. You know, the pain that we feel when there's a loss of a loved one. And I don't know what disappointment or heartache you're experiencing now. And it's especially difficult, you know, when you've prayed and it seems that God doesn't hear or doesn't even care about the things that you've prayed for. See, God doesn't follow our schedule. He does things at his own pace. Now, would we be able to trust in the Lord or to accept our situation now if we knew that God would be glorified as a result? You see how Jesus cried and wept with Mary. Yet he knew that in a few minutes' time, he was going to say, "Lazarus, come forth from the grave." And so when we go through stuff, let us never feel that the Lord doesn't go through things with us. And I recall a time in 2008 when my father died. You know, my father passed away in Zimbabwe, and so I got the call, you know, the old man is gone. And I recall there was a gentleman in my Connect group. Him and his wife, John and Meredith Loudon, they ran a Connect group. And I called John up and I said, "Oh, look, John, my father's died." And, you know, John took it upon himself. He booked all my tickets from Alice Springs. We're living in Alice Springs at the time, all the way to Harare, Zimbabwe, where I was going for my father's funeral. And then there was John Loudon. Then there was another man. So, you know, when you normally get on a plane, you sit next to somebody, you give each other the obligatory, "Hello, how are you? Where are you going? What are you going for? Is it work? Are you going for fun, holiday?" I explained to him, "Oh, look, you know, my trip is I'm going for a funeral. I'm going to see my father's funeral. I'm going for my father's funeral." And as the plane, you know, mainly because it's from Sydney to Johannesburg, 14 hours. Very long flight, long and boring. And so I had time to reflect about my father when I was on the flight. And I recall all of a sudden, you know, the emotion got the better of me, you know, and just the tears started streaming from my eyes, you know, when emotion gets the better of you. And this man, I'd only met him a couple of hours earlier. All he did was that he put his hand on my shoulder, just a gentle touch, you know. He didn't say anything. He put it long enough so that I wouldn't feel uncomfortable, you know. But his hand was there. And in that moment, you know, you feel support. You feel loved. See, on this earth, when we encounter Christ, it's normally through other people. You never encounter, the Lord is not just going to roll up to your house and just sit with you. But he's going to sit with you through me. He's going to sit with me through you, you know. It is through us, the hands and the feet, as we extend ourselves, we are extending who Christ was. And just that thing that on this earth, we encounter Christ through other people. And you found that those guys, they don't know this happened nearly now 11 years or 13 years ago. But today I'm speaking about the act that these two men did. One who took it upon himself to book my flights, to go home, because he understands that for a man, look, and I'm only speaking because I'm a man, that when you lose your father, your world is turned upside down, because now you don't have anybody that you can go to when you're in trouble. You see, because a father is a protector. You know, a father is the one that you run to when you're in trouble. Now that my protection is gone, who else do I have to go to? But guess what? I've got brothers and I've got brothers and sisters in the Lord who I can run to, who God can use to help me through those difficult times. Amen. And so you can say to yourself that I am the hands and the feet of Christ. So you're not going to wait on somebody else when you hear that somebody's in trouble, or you're not just going to give them a high five and say, bless you. What we're going to be doing, just like as we heard today through Donovan, is that when we hear that one of ours in the church is going through a hardship, we're going to take it upon ourselves to do something about it. Because we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And the last time, and this is when we read the scripture, we're talking about this magnificent encounter that this woman had. John chapter 3 says, she encountered him through worship. And I would like us, when we look at worship, you know, is we want to be those that worship like nobody sees. Because you can imagine if you're worshiping and pretending as if it's you, you are going to be jumping up and down. You're going to be swaying back and forth because all you're doing is that you're worshiping towards the Lord. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. Very significant, because this expensive perfume was normally given by the parents to a bride, so that on the day of her marriage, when she was with her husband, she would then break forth that fragrance, so that wherever they were, there would just be this magnificent fragrance. So this was something that was near and dear to her. But guess what she did? Took the long bottleneck, the alabaster jar, very expensive perfume. She broke it, and she poured some of it on Jesus' feet. And then she did something very personal and intimate. She unbound her hair and wiped his feet with it. Now, this may not be the case for 21st century women, but dare I say, it is the case. Women love their hair. You know anything about women? They love their hair. And I know that because my 2-year-old loves her hair, you know. And so she had long hair, and then when we cut it, she wasn't very happy. Because the hair is just, you know, women look good with their hair. You know, we like it, you know, and they spend a lot of money on their hair. So it's very special to them. And she did something that, you see, the hair back in those days was something that was, they would say it's your glory. So it's something that was never seen publicly. But she unbound her scarf, and then she took that thing and she wiped Jesus' feet with it. You know why? She didn't care what anybody else thought. She worshipped the Lord like nobody could see her. And I just wish that I would live my life, my dedication and my devotion to the Lord, like nobody sees. And why? Why was Mary like this? Why would she do such an extravagant act? It was her gratitude for her brother's life. It was her faith that Jesus was the Messiah, and a love for him that motivated this sacrificial act to express her utter devotion. I wonder what has got your devotion. What has got your attention? It's quite okay, you know, if you decide whether you're a man or a woman to say, you know, nobody's actually got a problem with you if you decide to buy a $4,000 bag of golf clubs, you know. And I'm not necessarily mocking the golfers here, you know. But nobody's got a problem when you spend $4,000 on golf. Nobody's got a problem when you buy yourself an expensive Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus or a Bentley. No one has a problem. But all of a sudden, when you decide to spend that type of money on the Lord, oh, all of a sudden people don't like that. You see, the moment you decide to do something for the Lord, all of a sudden people have got an issue. Nobody's got a problem when you're spending all your time and your efforts going into the nightclubs and having a good time. But the moment you say, look, I'm just going to go to church for 1 hour, all hell breaks loose. All your friends start saying, there must be something wrong with you. You're becoming a zealot. You know, you're becoming somebody that's just a bit too, you're so into the Lord. Something is wrong with you. But when you're doing other stuff, nobody's got a problem. And you find that Judas took great exception to the fact that Mary had done such a had done such an act. But I believe, you see, sometimes when people say things just like Judas do, they say it out of selfish motivation. Judas was not concerned about the poor. He was just concerned that, man, if we sold that perfume, we could have had a year's worth of wages, $50,000. We know that he was a thief, and he was in his mind, he was thinking, what could I have done with this money? But this is how, through the example of Mary, we're supposed to live our lives, the utter devotion to the Lord. Whether it's our financial resources, whether it's our time. In fact, dare I say that one of the most important things we can ever give the Lord is our time. And the reason I say that is because our time is running out. That is the most precious resource we can give to the Lord. And as you give that time to the Lord in your time of devotion and in your time of worship, all I can say is that that time is never wasted. The time that you put on a CD, you know, that you decide to just focus on God and all the distractions aside, that time is never wasted. Dare I say, those are the most special, special moments. And even for me this week, I must confess that normally when I get in the car, whether I'm going to work or coming from work, I'm normally talking to somebody on the phone. But this week, I just deliberately just said, you know what? I'm just going to play a song, play some worship music, and I'm going to connect with the Lord. You know? That there's just something about, no matter what happens to us in this life, you know, God, as was saying this morning, is our anchor. That riches come and go, you know, friends come and go. But if there is one constant in our lives, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is nothing that can ever take away from the things that he does for and who he is in our lives. And that he is worthy of all our devotion, even to the point of madness. And the reason you're not just mad for no apparent reason, you do it because of what he has done for you. And it is through that appreciation of what he has done that you say, God, for what you've done in my life, I am going to be committed and I'm going to be devoted to you. And I don't care about what anybody else thinks. And if we're going to be those that live our lives and those that are going to make an impact for the Lord in this life that we have, no matter where we are in our workplace, it is going to be our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one thing that is going to separate us. Whether we lay bricks, whether we teach at school, whether we're in the nursing home, whether we're in the smelter, you know, doing IT like Andrew, you know, whatever it is that we do it with all that we have. There is a devotion that comes, but there has to be something about that separates us, and that is our devotion to the Lord. And if there's anything that's going to move people, that when they come into this place, they will look at us. And if there's one thing they can say is that the people at C3 Wellard, those people love the Lord. Above anything else, they can be a bit weird, but they're weird in a good way. They're weird in a way. People want to come You see, so that when people come into our homes, there is just something attractive about our homes that people come into. They say, you know what? They're a bit loony, you know, with the things that they do. But guess what? This family, these families are legit families. They are people who say they do what they say they do. Now, one of the interesting things as we bring this to a close, if I can get the band to get back up. One of the interesting things, you know, when you've been misunderstood, when your motives have been questioned, just like Mary's motives were questioned, if you read this story in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 24, and Mark chapter 12 or 14, chapter 14, it basically says that it wasn't just Judas that got angry. The disciples were livid. You know, the word they used was indignant. Now that basically tells me that these guys were really ticked off because they thought that what she did was an affront. How could you do this? You know? The one thing that she never did, never defended her devotion and worship to the Lord. She never defended her commitment to the Lord. And your and my job, when people question us, is never to defend our devotion to the Lord, because Christ himself will do it. And this is what he said to her. He says, leave her alone. And he says, this act that this woman has done will be spoken of in the future. And now, many, many centuries later, here I am talking about what this woman did. I wonder, when they talk about your life and my life, what would they say? What will they say? Will there be a lingering story of like, wow, the way that person did this, their level of, because you see, you're only remembered for your level of devotion. If you're not devoted, nobody's going to remember you, you know? We remember those that try, those that stick their necks out, not necessarily those that don't do anything. But my call to both, to all of us this morning is, what are we going to be remembered for? You know? What are they going to, when they look at us, when they talk about our lives, what are they going to say about you and I? That is a question I'll leave with you, because only you, and it's interesting, there is a word as you read this scripture in, I think it's the New Living Translation, and in one of those, it's either the story, the same story in Matthew or in Mark, Jesus said, she did what she could. And that's all the Lord expects of you, is to do what you can. It's not to compare yourself to anybody else. And when I saw that part that says she did what she could, I said, wow. That really intrigued me. What did the Lord mean? And that takes all the pressure off. You are the only one that can determine your level of devotion and worship and commitment to the Lord. If you're this devoted, God is going to love you like this. If you're that devoted, he's still going to love you like that. Because our level of devotion does not determine the love that he has for us. And like I said, as we close, when you meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are encountering love itself. Because Christ loves you and he loves me. And all he did, because he loved you and I, he went to the cross so that we could live the life that we have free, knowing that though we may live and will eventually die, but we will not die, because surely we will be with the Lord. And this morning, I just invite you to stand to your feet as we close, please.